Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Good to see you. I think it would only be right of me to welcome a new young lady. This is not her first morning, I understand, but it's the first morning that I have met with her, and it's nice to see her. We're turning to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Now we're continuing our study, although we're only getting going in it, the study being children in the gospel who met the Lord Jesus. And I think no matter what age you are today, we will encounter someone of around about your age whose meeting with the Lord Jesus is recorded in the scriptures. And that being the case, it's there for us to learn from it. But before I actually get into that aspect of our study, I have been seeking to set before you the fact that the Lord Jesus was a wee boy who grew up through teenage years and has had all the experiences, without sin, of course, that every boy and girl has by way of playing. I wonder what sports the Lord Jesus engaged in when he was a boy, just with others of his friends. I really don't know what Jewish boys and girls played way back 2,000 years ago. But whatever it was they would have been playing, he would have been involved in it. So he knows all about playing, but he always played fair, and they never argued and got cross with someone who managed to get the better of him. So I can't imagine that ever happening. But they didn't play football, I'm sure of that. But if we imagine him playing football with other boys and one of the boys managing to get round him or take the ball off him, he wouldn't have got angry or vexed in all part of the sport. And we can learn, therefore, from the Savior because, as I say, he went through all the experiences that boys and girls go through. Though, I emphasize again, he did no sin. He could not sin. The Lord Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. I've said that to you before. So we have been looking then at this particular truth and considering the Lord Jesus as a boy, and we're into the third study of that particular topic. And we're going to start this morning by observing what is said here in Matthew chapter 13. Let's read from verse 55. Verse 55 of Matthew 13. I always like, when I'm preaching, to emphasize where it is I'm preaching from and the portion of Scripture so that those who are listening can make sure that I don't make a mistake, that I don't say something that is not there in the Bible. If that was done in every church, there would be a lot of ministers who would be caught out teaching error. That's why I feel it important. So you look there at Matthew chapter 13, the verse 55. Here are the people talking. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? You see, the Lord Jesus has just preached in his home village. And all those that he knew from he was a boy, well, they were there to hear him. And their reaction to his preaching is given us here. They're saying, his words are marvelous. He speaks with authority. He's not like the usual preacher, but he's lively. And there's power in his word. Now, where did this come from? Is not this the carpenter's son? Should we know his mother and his brothers and his sisters? Where did this man get this wonderful power? That's what they're saying. And boys and girls, I want you to understand that from these words we can conclude that it would appear that while he was growing up, those he grew up with didn't notice anything special about him. If they had, they wouldn't have said these things now. They wouldn't have said, where did he get this authority? If they had noticed that he was special in their earlier years, they would say, oh, it's no surprise to hear him preaching like that. We always knew he was special. But they didn't say that. Now, I have no doubt that anyone who knew the Lord Jesus as he grew up should have seen that he was special. Should have seen that he was not like others. But boys and girls, the sad thing is this. We hear about the Savior. We read about the Savior. And we don't pay a lot of attention to what it is we read. And consequently, out there in the world, where there are many people, if you said, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Oh, yes. He's mentioned in the Bible. He was the Savior. They'd know a lot of things about him. But at the same time, they wouldn't have noticed that he was very special. Otherwise, if they had noticed he was very special, they would have obeyed him. They would have noticed what he said and had reacted by doing what he said. But there are so many out there who know something about the Lord, but never have believed on him, never have obeyed him. Now, let me ask you, you know about the Lord Jesus. There's none of you here, but from the first day you came into the school, you have been taught about the Lord Jesus. But has it had an impact upon you? Have you said, this is someone very special? I believe what the Bible says about him, and because of that, I must obey him. I must receive him as my Savior. I must get saved. Is that your reaction? Or are you like the neighbors here who never noticed anything special about the Lord Jesus? And when he thus got up and preached with power, they said, where did he get this? It was something that amazed them, surprised. Oh, but is it the case with you today? For many people hear the gospel, but fail to see the true greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then again, we read concerning the Savior as a youngster, and then on up in his slightly older years, returning this time to Luke, the chapter 2. And here we see the Savior born. We read about how that his coming was announced to Joseph, announced to Mary, his mother, and they were told some wonderful things about the one who was to be born. Wonderful things. And we are told that Mary, unlike those neighbors, Mary noticed there's something special about my wee son. Let me show you what we read. Chapter 2 of Luke, the verse 18. The Savior has just been visited by the shepherds. They were told by the angels that the Savior was born in Bethlehem. And they immediately, they weren't like the neighbors, they immediately dropped everything and said, let's go and see this that has been told to us. And they rushed in and they saw the babe lying in the manger. And they went away greatly rejoicing. And then we read in verse 18, and all they that heard it. Heard what? Heard what the shepherds had said. Can you imagine having just been visited by angels and then going in and seeing the one who had been promised for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years there lying as a babe in a manger. The Messiah, the promised Savior, there he is. And that would have excited any devout Jew. So consequently, when they left Mary and Joseph and the little one, the first person they met, where do I tell you what we have just seen? They would have told them. And the next person. And when they got home, they gathered the whole family. Well, all the shepherds were told. Everybody they encountered. And it says, therefore, in verse 18, and all they that heard it, all who had been told by the shepherds what they had seen, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, it just occurs to me, as I think about that word, wondered, Does that suggest that those who heard what the shepherds said did not believe them necessarily? They just wondered. And that's a strange thing. I wonder what that can mean. Or were there those amongst the people told by the shepherds what they had seen? Were there those who said, God has kept his promise. God has fulfilled his promise. He has sent his Savior. And what you have told us, shepherds, is the arrival of the Messiah. And I believe it. I'm sure there were those amongst the people who heard the shepherds tell the story who reacted in that way. Although I think a lot of people would have just said, that's a strange thing. Strange indeed, and went on their way about their business and hardly thought any more about it. I think that there would have been those who did that. But it says, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But, important little word, when you read the word but, in a sense, it comes, as it were, like a command from a sergeant major in the army. When he's training soldiers and he's marching them left, right, and then he shouts out, about turn! And they go in the opposite direction. Well, a but in a sentence usually sends us in a different direction from the one we have been going in the earlier part of the sentence. You see, here we are in verse 18, people all wondering, puzzled. But here's something different. Here's the opposite to what the people were doing. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary accepted all she had heard from the angels and what she had seen. And she would have also kept what she had heard from the shepherds, for they would have told her, look, angels appeared to us and told us to come here, because this child is the Messiah, it's the Savior. And Mary would have kept all those things in her heart. Oh, that's where the gospel needs to be put, boys and girls. That's what the words that I'm reading from the Bible to you, that's where they need to go. Not in here, and out here. Just passing through your head without really being thought about. But you should take them into your heart and then, like Mary, ponder them. Ponder them. Think about them. Go over them. I might even use the word chew. That's what you do with your food. You don't just pop it in your mouth and swallow. You don't do that. Even something like ice cream, which doesn't take any chewing, you nevertheless will squeeze it a bit in your mouth with your tongue and then swallow. But more substantial food requires you to chew it up and break it up before you swallow. And that's the idea behind the word ponder. When you hear the gospel and hear the teaching of the Bible, you just don't swallow it, as it were. Oh, I listen to it and that's it. But you think over it, you ponder it. Have you done that? Have you ever gone home, and on your way home, maybe you're driving with your parent, friend, or someone, and you're sitting in the car, and you're looking out the window, have you ever thought about what you heard this morning, or sometime during the day? Thought about what the Bible has to say. Mary did that. Mary knew there's something special about my little child, and I'm going to think about it. And gather together all the information that I have been given and think it out and think it over and ponder. Look on further in this chapter 2, right down to the end of it, verse 50. The Lord Jesus is now 12. He has been up to Jerusalem with his mother Mary and the one who was looked upon as his father, Joseph, but he wasn't his father, of course. But he acted toward the Lord Jesus as a good father. He cared for them, loved them. And they have been up to Jerusalem. For the first time, he has been allowed to attend the Passover feast, the annual feast around about our Easter time that took place. And he was up there. And it was always a wonderful time of getting together with friends and neighbors. And Mary and Joseph met a lot of friends. And they got talking to them. And when the worship was over and the feast was over and they were on their way home. They were talking and talking and talking and forgot about the Lord Jesus and went home or started for home without him. And that can happen. That can happen. Parents can make a mistake and for a very short time leave a child behind until, where's so-and-so? And rush back to where they had left the child. That can happen, even to the best of parents. So they discover, where's Jesus? That's what they would have called him. Where's Jesus? And they hasten back and search for 3 days. Those must have been awful days of worry and concern and the most dreadful thoughts in their minds. And then they found him. And they found him exactly where they had left him. They found him in the temple. That's where they had left him. And he had stayed there. He hadn't wandered off watching Roman soldiers doing drill or anything of that nature. He had stayed where he had been left, in the temple. And there he was discussing the things of God with those who were very learned, supposedly, in those things. And he was astonishing everybody by the knowledge that he had. Well, Mary and Joseph found him, and they were displeased with him. They were displeased with him. And Mary acted a little unwisely. She said, you can look at verse 48 there of the chapter 2, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us, and behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing? Blaming the Lord Jesus. But notice what the Lord Jesus said in response. Now, if that situation took place in your life, you might have said, what are you scolding me for? It was you left me, it's not my fault. That's what he could have said. But as ever, the Lord Jesus acted in accordance with the word of God, and he showed respect to his mother and to Joseph. And he answered in a respectful fashion. He says, verse 49, very gently, I am no doubt, how is it that ye sought me? Whiskey, that's an old English word that means, do you not know? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? Do you not realize that my whole being is tied up with my father's business and that I would be there involved in furthering his business and carrying out his business? And I have been talking to these doctors of the law here in Jerusalem about my father's business. And I have no doubt I can say I've been explaining to them what the Bible has to say about my father's business, because men don't really know anything like that. And though he was only 12 years old, the Lord Jesus was already manifesting that great wisdom and knowledge that he had. Well, when he finished, it says in verse 50, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Now you think on that. Mary and Joseph had watched for 12 years the perfect life of the Lord Jesus. He never said a bad word. He never acted wrongfully or sinfully. He never did anything wrong. But what he now said puzzled them. I tell you again, boys and girls, the best of people can hear about and read about the Lord Jesus and not really take note of what it is they're witnessing. And even Mary and Joseph were puzzled. What does he mean? I'm sure Mary had been told by the angel that the child that would be born of her would be born of the Holy Spirit. That he was God manifest in the flesh. And I've explained to you that that really means that there were in the Lord Jesus two natures. A human nature, perfectly sinless, and a divine nature. But that knowledge had not registered with Mary and Joseph. And we read verse 51, and he went down with them back home and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, obeyed them as ever. But, there's that wee word again, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. She's thinking. She's made to realize that my son Jesus is someone special. Oh, that you might, like Mary, recognize that. He's not someone to be dismissed. He's not someone whose name is used as a curse by so many. He's someone to be obeyed, to be loved, and rejoice in. I'm going to leave it there for time's up. But may the Lord bless his word to you boys and girls, and may you ponder what I have said and not forget it. Let's bow in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for your word, and we pray that you bless it to every heart here today and all the activities of the school, Lord, commit to thee, thanking thee for answers to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.